As the Arctic opens, several countries are eyeing what may be a virgin commercial fishery in the central Arctic Ocean. How to regulate those new potential fishing grounds was on the table for discussion at the State Department's Glacier Conference in Anchorage last week. As KSKA's Monica Goki reports, several nations urged caution and the need for more science before opening the fishery.
There are five nations whose borders surround the Arctic Ocean, and each has their respective fishing jurisdictions offshore, but none yet extend into the central Arctic Ocean, or what's called the High Arctic. David Bolton is the State Department's Deputy Secretary for Oceans and Fisheries.
No commercial fishing has ever taken place in this area, and that is because, of course, at least until recently, it has been ice-covered year-round. But that, as most of you know, is changing.
Although it's not likely the Arctic will be ice-free anytime soon, the five countries bordering the Arctic Ocean, that's Norway, Russia, Canada, the U.S., and Denmark on behalf of Greenland, signed a non-binding agreement in Oslo this summer to abstain from unregulated fishing in that part of the ocean, for now. At the Glacier Conference, delegates from several northern nations discussed how exactly the High Arctic should be opened for commercial fishing. But first, Bolton reminded the crowd about a cautionary tale. In the mid-1980s, a large, unregulated pollock fishery opened in the so-called donut hole of the Bering Sea.
It was conducted by large trawl vessels from Japan, China, South Korea, and Poland. The unregulated nature of that fishery caused alarm in first the Soviet Union, then Russia, and of course the United States. And despite the efforts of those two countries to bring this fishery under control, the pollock fishery collapsed in 1992. No commercial fishery for pollock has existed in this high seas area since. The pollock stock has never recovered.
Fisheries management expert Dr. Vyacheslav Zelanov of Russia says the big takeaway from the depleted stocks in the Bering Sea donut hole and elsewhere is that it's easier to prevent overfishing than to remediate it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll speak Russian because people in Alaska still remember Russian, and it will be easier for them to understand.
Through a translated PowerPoint, Dr. Zelanov advocated for close collaboration between all countries with a stake in high Arctic fisheries, and pointed out that this kind of collaboration has happened in the past only after fish stocks have been harmed. The general consensus during the rest of the panel was the same, that care and tact should be used in managing high Arctic fisheries. Jim Stotts of the Inuit Circumpolar Council said his group also has a vested stake in precautionary management.
We Inuit have a strong interest in maintaining healthy fish stocks in the Arctic waters. We are a coastal people and depend on the Arctic Ocean for fish, seabirds, and marine mammals for continued nutritional and cultural survival.
And in that vein, Ambassador Bolton announced two initiatives on behalf of the U.S. last week.
It's time to transform the declaration that was signed by five, though it's non-binding, into a binding international agreement among all with a real interest in this issue. The United States intends to convene an international negotiation to start before the end of this year with the objective of developing such an international agreement.
Those negotiations are scheduled for early December in Washington, D.C. Bolton's second announcement was the intent to make funding available for scientific research in the High Arctic. In Anchorage, I'm Monica Goki.